Hey Diggs, welcome to Dentists in the Know, your backstage pass to current trends, politics, and education in the dental world. We are dentistry's source for honest, relevant information, and with that in mind, this is JB's News on the Go with Dentists in the Know. So introducing to you with all the relevant information, Dr. Jennifer Bell.
So it's been a super interesting week, especially in the federal government. As usual, they're up to their normal shenanigans, but this one might actually work to our favor. Many of you have noted that the final ruling from the FTC came out this week, eliminating non-compete clauses between employers and employees. That directly impacts a good number of associates and also owner docs who are selling. There's not as much clarity around what we would call senior executives or owners yet about how the non-compete enforcement will be. But here are a couple of the takeaways. This ban is going to go into effect pretty quickly. They didn't release an official date, but once it goes into effect, all existing non-competes between employees and employers will be null and void. So regardless of a signed contract, those will not be executable anymore. So no one can take you to court for violating a non-compete, even though you may have signed it before the ban. The second piece is that there will be some slow play on senior executives. If you have a non-compete as a senior executive, there will not be an immediate elimination of that non-compete, but moving forward, senior executives will also not be required to sign any non-competes for their employment. So hopefully moving into the future, as senior executives move companies or whatever, they will not be required to sign that. I think that might somehow apply to partner doctors. If you've sold your practice, perhaps this will be of interest to you as well. It doesn't immediately eliminate any non-competes that were in place for senior executives, but it does mean moving forward, they will not be enforceable anymore. This is a pretty big change. Non-competes have been a big part of dental associate contracts for a really long time and have impacted a lot of decisions for young doctors on where they can practice, where they want to practice, how far they have to go away from their home and their early career just to not interfere with any non-competes. So this could be an interesting play in the marketplace. Another news article out this week. If you are in network for MetLife or in network for Guardian, this might be of interest to you. Or if you're in network with just one of those two companies, they came to an agreement late last week that they will join a shared network. So if you are currently in network with one of them, be careful. Your new patients may be coming from the other network, believing that you are also in that shared network. So if you participate with MetLife or Guardian, best to get some guidance moving forward. And if you don't want to then be included in the alternative insurance company, you're going to want to reach out to your providers and opt out of that shared network. Otherwise, you will be lumped in without your knowledge, because that's the way insurance contracts work. And you will then be in network for both companies. If you have existing contracts, though, you need to understand which fee schedule will be enforced. Which could be a strategic play as well, but just more clarity around that. But that definitely impacts our doctors in MetLife and Guardian as well. Here's a kind of a funny, I don't mean to say it's super funny, but it is a little quirky. There's a group of dentists in Japan that is suing Google for negative Google review issues. They are suing because it's impacting their rating, and they feel like a lot of the reviews are falsified or not true. I think the kind of comical piece is that they're suing Google for what's equivalent to $9,000. So I don't know that they might just get a check and this may all go away really quickly. It's a group of like 60 dentists out of Japan suing Google, but the total financial impact at current yen value is $9,000. So we'll see how that trends. The last little news article is for my bestie, Jeff, because I know this will be right up his alley. There was an article that was published recently in the Journal of American College of Cardiology. And why would we be talking about cardiology on a dental show? Well, they were looking at mandibular advancement devices compared to CPAP for treatment of sleep apnea, specifically in how it correlated with lowering blood pressure for patients. Well, here's what the survey says. In the first round of treatment, so early in treatment, the mandibular advancement device and the CPAP showed very similar treatment effectiveness. They both showed correlated reduced BP and obviously effectiveness in treating sleep apnea. But at 6 months, the mandibular advancement device showed a significant decrease in 24-hour mean arterial blood pressure by 2.5 milligrams per mercury, while the CPAP group showed no change. So the mandibular advancement device outperformed the CPAP in all secondary ambulatory blood pressure parameters, especially in blood pressure during sleep.
I've been saying this all along.
What will this do for our mandibular advancement treatment? I hope we will see more uptick of that in cardiology. There were some limitations with the study, but I do think it's fair to say that the mandibular advancement device is not inferior to the CPAP and may have actually a preferred preference for treatment, particularly for those individuals who have comorbidities of hypertension. And with that, that's the news.
Hey, Dinks, that's it for today. Just wanted to say thank you for being a part of Dentists in the Know. You know, dentistry is an amazing profession, but it's more rewarding when you're in the know.